Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. Joining us now is Michael Weinstein, who's the founder and president of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation and a leader in the movement to restore the constitutionally mandated separation of church and state in the United States military. He's an attorney and businessman who served on active duty in the United States Air Force as a judge advocate for 10 years and also worked for more than 3 years as legal counsel in the Reagan White House. He's the author of With God on Our Side, No Snowflake in an Avalanche, and One Family's Courageous War Against Military Extremism in High Places. For the third consecutive year, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation was officially nominated a fourth time for the Nobel Peace Prize. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mikey Weinstein.
Thank you, Ian. Good to be back.
And your friend, of course, was murdered on the 11th anniversary of 9/11 in Libya, protecting the United States ambassador. He had joined the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, apparently after getting the hard sell from Christian fundamentalists who were deeply entrenched in the SEALs and other elite military units like the Green Berets and the Army Rangers. Tell us about your friend, Glenn Doherty.
Well, Glenn was a very special person. I mean, if you filled up Dodger Stadium with American heroes, he would be the one that they would announce as the hero of heroes. He was a passionate person who deeply cared about not just his fellow American citizens, but, you know, all citizens of this world. He had a great and abiding respect for the Muslim faith and Islamic countries, and he, as a mantra, would say the reason he joined our advisory board years ago is that he knew that any version of fundamentalist religion, and here at the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, the version we fight all the time is fundamentalist, or what's known as dominion Christian tyranny. He knew that had no place in the profession of arms. I mean, you can't mix, end times crazy fundamentalist Christianity with our nuclear weapons or our laser-guided weapons or our conventional weapons. And he was a person that never, ever stopped realizing how critical our mission was. He made me realize that what we were fighting in the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, which, by the way, for anyone who's listening, can be found on the web at militaryreligiousfreedom.org, but what we're fighting was not a problem, issue, or challenge. He called it truly a national security threat. I was reminded, we're obviously extremely heartbroken. I had a call from another one of our advisory board members over the weekend who reminded me of why he came to our board. This gentleman's name is John Whiteside. He's a highly decorated former U.S. Marine Corps and U.S. Air Force fighter pilot, winner of the Distinguished Flying Cross. A number of years ago, he was climbing in the Zion Mountains. I think it was the Great White Throne. It's a 1,200-foot vertical mountain. And he was climbing, straight up on this mountain. And he met a guy they decided to do it together. They climbed the whole mountain. They camped out over a ledge 1,200 feet directly, over the ground. And John told me that that person just would not stop talking about the Military Religious Freedom Foundation and the need for John to consider coming on board. Well, shortly thereafter, John called me, flew out here, and joined our advisory board. That person was Glenn Doherty. And, he was somebody who was a warrior. He was he'd written a book just last year called The 21st Century Sniper. You know, the elite of the elite are the SEALs. He was also a medic. He was also a pilot. But most importantly, he knew the dangers of trying he saw the dangers of Islamophobia in this country. It took a while for it to come, come home to where it has now become so horrible with regard to the view that all Muslims, the only good Muslim is a dead Muslim, all Muslims are, security risks. And gosh, Ian, I know you're a student of history. Have we not heard that one before?
Well, what I find deeply sad about this is that I don't know him, obviously, but his story in many ways, since these people like Glenn Doherty are rare, is similar in a way to Pat Tillman, in as much as Pat Tillman was also in the Rangers, the Special Forces hero who was appalled by the proselytizing in the ranks. He was on the same mission that I believe Glenn Doherty was on, that highly politicized rescue of Jessica, I can't remember her name now, in the Iraq war. And I believe Glenn Doherty was on that so-called rescue mission.
There were two different missions. The one that I don't know if he was on that same mission. I know that John Whiteside, the one we just spoke about, was involved in a major rescue issue, which is how he won the Distinguished Flying Cross. It's possible that now that I think about it, that Glenn may have been on that same mission that you talked about. But I know one thing that was upsetting to me. I did so many media interviews when this happened because, for instance, you know, the New York Times reporter said, "Hey, isn't it ironic your friend is died fighting religious extremism in Benghazi and Libya, when he was on your advisory board fighting it here in America?" And I said, please don't use that I word. That trivializes his life and his sacrifice and his death. It wasn't ironic. Irony is if you hire a plumber to fix your bathtub and he drowns in your bathtub while doing it. You know, this is not ironic. He saw this as a very real, very palpable, very horrible situation that needed to be fixed and needed to be fixed quickly. And I remember he liked I use a lot of quotes when I speak publicly, as you know, Ian, and one of my favorite quotes is from Rosa Luxemburg, an activist in Germany in the early 20th century. She was fond of saying that people who do not move never see their chains. And Glenn was a mover, and he was someone that saw other people's chains sometimes when they didn't see it, and he saw the danger of trying to afflict people for their religious faith. He knew that telling someone that they lacked honor or trustworthiness or character or integrity or intelligence because of their chosen religious faith or lack thereof, that there was no difference between that and telling someone they were stupid because of the color of their skin or because they were a woman. And I know that in his last moments, I know he went down firing. He went down with guns in his hands. And it's, I'll never forget my friend.
Again, I'm speaking with Michael Weinstein, who's the founder and president of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation and the leader of a movement to restore the constitutionally mandated separation of church and state in the United States military. And he lost his friend Glenn Doherty on the 11th anniversary of 9/11. In Benghazi, Libya. Glenn, as Mikey just said, went down fighting, trying to protect the lives of the U.S. ambassador and the people that worked in the U.S. consulate in Benghazi. 2 days later, Mikey, on Thursday, September the 13th, there was a Value Voters Summit in Washington, D.C., where vice presidential nominee Paul Ryan addressed the gathering. But at that gathering, there was a sprinkling of some of the most right-wing some of the most right-wing Islamophobes in the United States, Frank Gaffney and General Boykin. So you've got your work cut out for you. I mean, that's what was so valuable about Glenn Doherty. People inside the military that are willing to step out and alert us to this incredible problem within our own military of growing religious fanaticism are hard to find.
Very, very, very hard to find. And you were right. I mean, if you're an Islamophobe, you're probably going to be a homophobe as well. They seem to go together. And, Gaffney, Boykin, these are miserable examples of human beings. And I actually did broke down and did a Fox TV show last night nationally and internationally. And I was trying to explain that this is not a political spectrum, left or right issue. We are all Americans. This is a constitutional right and wrong issue. You know, have we not seen this enough times that when you say that every Apache, every Navajo, every Japanese person, every Jewish person, every Mormon person, every, you know, Hindu person is all the same, this leads to oceans and oceans of blood. And it's a horrible thing. I mean, we represent over 11% in our foundation, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, again on the web at militaryreligiousfreedom.org. We represent over 11% of every Muslim American in the U.S. Marine Corps, Navy, Army, and Air Force. And we're very proud of that. But they're scared. They're brave and courageous Americans. You know, Muslims have been in this country since the beginning, since before there was a country. And I think the people at that Values Voter Summit they might have understand what the First Commandment says, which is you can't have any other gods except for me. But they didn't understand the First Amendment, which says, oh, yes, you can.
So tell me about Glenn Doherty, Mikey Weinstein, in as much as in your eulogy you quote retired Ambassador Chas Freeman, whom I've spoken to a number of times and one of the most intelligent men on foreign policy that I've been able to find, extraordinary scholar of both, he speaks both Chinese, Mandarin Chinese and Arabic. Unfortunately, he was supposed to be, have a senior role in the Obama White House, but Obama buckled under pressure from the neoconservatives to run Chas out of town. But you quote him saying, ironically, as we search abroad for monsters to destroy, we are creating them, transforming our foreign detractors into terrorists, multiplying their numbers, intensifying their militancy, and fortifying their hatred of us. Did Glenn, was he aware? I mean, he was on the ground so much in that part of the world. What was his sense of the war on terror and where it was heading?
Well, Glenn was very happy to see the Arab Spring come, but he knew that that was going to be kind of like the lady and the tiger, or door number one, door number two. Door number one is that this would open the opportunity to bring democracy and human and civil rights to the indigenous peoples of these Arabic countries. Door number two, it would also allow an opportunity, you know, for Salafi Wahhabist Islamic fundamentalism to come in and try to take hold, you know, Al-Qaeda, the Taliban. And he was dedicated to trying to do whatever he could to make sure that the latter would not happen and that the former would happen. But when our U.S. military, let alone the rest of our society, you know, that we look exactly like the 10th version of the 9 prior crusades, when we take on the mantle of Islamophobia, then we do 3 things, and they're all bad, and they begin with E, the letter E. We enrage our Islamic enemies. I mean, we're looking at these terrible situations of green-on-blue assassinations, you know, with Afghan troops and police against our own troops over there. So we enrage our, you know, the second one is we embolden our Islamic enemies. You know, I mentioned we enrage our Islamic allies. The last is we eviscerate good order and discipline in our own military. It's something that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin Dempsey, just over the weekend was saying we have to fix this. But we're also averaging, I think it's just about 1 active duty member of the military, maybe a little more than that, 1 and a fraction a day are killing themselves. You know, we are, and the average American has no clue. They're watching their college football teams, they are watching the NFL, they are watching The Simpsons, and they're watching Dancing with the Stars and American Idol. They barely have a clue that we're involved in the longest war ever in our nation's history. This was something that tremendously upset Glenn, that there was a huge gap. In World War II, in our country, the whole country was enlisted in that war. We're all part of that effort. And now, in 2012, very, very few have even a basic understanding of what we're doing, or that there are 2 main divisions in Islam, you know, Sunni and Shia. And it goes on from there. The beat goes on. And it's a very sad beat.
Well, Mikey Weinstein, I mean, I don't know how it struck you, but I was just appalled to learn that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Dempsey, had to get on the phone the other day and plead with that cracker down in Florida, this gun-toting pastor, this unbelievable serial ignoramus who is causing so much grief. And the idea that our top military officer has to beg this guy to shut up and stop putting the lives of American service people in danger.
We have a situation in where, of course, we have the First Amendment in this country. The same thing goes for that horrible, whatever that guy's name is, Nicola, the guy that did the Innocence of Muslims film. The question becomes, when does speech become hate speech? Now, we have hate speech in this country for a reason. This is something that, you know, if you look at the number of people in Congress, ask how many of their children are currently wearing the uniform of our armed forces. It's easy to say, hey, we support the troops. Easy to say that. Or ask how many big CEOs, how many of the 1% have their kids in the military? Very, very, very few. And the fact that this guy, you know, our foundation, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, through friends of ours at Central Command at MacDill Air Force Base, we were put in direct contact with key members of the Afghan National Army. For every Quran that person was going to burn, you know, we were going to provide a new one. The world, particularly the Arab street, needs to see where Americans are. and that we don't represent this thing. And the Americans are fond of saying, well, where are the Muslim Americans standing up and saying how horrible all of these killings are? Well, where's the rest of America saying that all of you Muslims aren't killers?
Exactly. So tell me what Glenn was up to in Libya. My understanding is that he was also there on a mission to search out shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missiles that apparently, and thousands were in the inventory, and I believe a lot of them have gone missing.
Yes. You know, I spoke to him in about mid-August. It was shortly after our foundation. We had a big victory where we finally got the U.S. Air Force to issue a regulation that, believe it or not, criminalizes unlawful proselytizing in the military. Of course, you have the law out there, just like we had the law from, you know, 1865 until 1965 in the former Confederate states in America, but we still had Jim Crow. In other words, until somebody is punished and sent to justice, the law means nothing and is a joke. But we finally had this passed, and Glenn was thrilled about that. He told me he was going over there. Well, he did that a lot. And I know that I've seen in the press, of course, that he was, you know, these shoulder-launched missiles, he was going for those. He was also, as I understand it, there to provide security in a very tough situation. He didn't specify, you know, really anything anymore towards me, other than he taught me from the early on that the civil rights business, there, you know, how do I say this? I mean, there's a spectrum. If you, Ian, I don't know if you've ever had a cat or a dog. Have you?
Oh, I still miss my dog.
Okay, well, you know, if you love pets or love animals, there's a spectrum of organizations that will support animal rights. On one hand, you have the very urbane and very nice and very, very warm, and they're great, the Humane Society. And on the right side, you've got PETA. Well, as Glenn had to remind me, we're PETA. We're People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. You know, we are an aggressive, militant organization, but our aggression and militancy is in support of the U.S. Constitution. And as you said, we can't be tepid. We have to be tenacious. We can't change this world by whispering. We have to yell. And so he had very little tolerance for the fact that this was being allowed and was being encouraged and is being encouraged in our military. How you fill a hole from a guy like this, I mean, literally and figuratively, he put the seal of approval on our foundation. When a former SEAL like him, of his incredible accomplishments, came on board with us, it opened the door to thousands of other young enlisted and young officers to say maybe it's okay to go to Mikey and the Military Religious Freedom Foundation for help. Other advisory board members, stellar ones, came on board with us because, hey, we had a Navy SEAL here. And he never wavered. I've had multi-star generals, just had one a month ago, who said that he wanted to come on our advisory board. They took a hard look and ran away and stopped returning phone calls and emails. Happens a lot. This is a full contact sport, and when you're talking about the rights of human beings, I don't care what your religious view is or political view. I know that we're on this rock for a short period of time, and whether you believe we're a sack of meat sitting on this rock in the middle of outer space, and the only thing that we know for sure is we're going to die and there's nothing we can do about that, or if you believe, you know, one of a pantheon of different faiths out there, I mean, Christianity alone has 34,000, give or take, different denominations. I know two things for sure. We are supposed to help each other. I gave a speech once where I actually deigned to eliminate the Ten Commandments, and I came up with Mikey's own five commandments. And Glenn really loved that. The first was love each other. The second is help each other. Number two is never be a perpetrator. Number four is never be a victim. And number five was the one that Glenn really pushed me on, which was never, ever, ever, ever be a bystander.
Well, Mikey Weinstein, just in closing, I just mentioned that values summit at which Jerry Boykin and Frank Gaffney spoke the other day, and vice presidential nominee Paul Ryan also spoke. And I'm wondering whether we will have this broader debate in this country about, you know, how can we fight the so-called war on terror against religious fanatics abroad if we're in bed with them at home politically.
Yes, I tell people all the time that, you know, you can beat up the Republicans all you want, but look at the embarrassment at the Democratic National Convention where they lied. Everyone sat there and watched your mayor, three or four times call for a two-thirds voice vote. There was no way that was a two-thirds voice vote to make sure we got Jerusalem as the capital in there and God in there. So, you know, it's like I've given up on both major parties. I've often said that under Republicans, man exploits man. But under Democrats, Ian, it appears just the opposite is true, meaning they're both the same. And we don't have an endless amount of time to fix our stupidity here. And Einstein, I think, said it best when he said there are only two things that are infinite. human stupidity and the universe. And then he said, and I'm not sure about the universe.
Well, Mikey, I really appreciate talking with you and ending on a cheerful note, even though I know your heart's broken about what happened to your friend.
I appreciate that. Please, anyone who's listening, if you want to help us, Glenn would want that. Please go. We're a 501c3 nonprofit charity. All donations, and we survive only on donations, are 100% tax deductible. Please go to our website, and Ian, hope you'll put that on your website. It's www.militaryreligiousfreedom.org, and we sure could use the help.
Well, I thank you again for joining us, Mikey Weinstein.
Thank you.
Hello again, I'm Ian Masters, and I'm just speaking then with Mikey Weinstein, who's the founder and president of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation and a leader in the movement to restore the constitutionally mandated separation of church and state in the United States military. He was an attorney and businessman who served on active duty in the United States Air Force as a judge advocate for 10 years and also worked for more than 3 years as legal counsel in the Reagan White House. He's the author of With God on Our Side, No Snowflake in an Avalanche, and One Family's Courageous War Against Religious Extremism in High Places. For the third consecutive year, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation was officially nominated a fourth time for the Nobel Peace Prize. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. A quiet voice, singing something.